But the title's Walking in the Light That You Have. So if you got your Bible, let's go to 1 John 1. If you don't have a Bible or whatever, Beth will put it on the screen for us. I'm going to have to lay a little foundation before I actually get to where I believe the Lord is wanting us to go, but we'll get however far we get today, right? Y'all planning on coming back, ain't you? Well, all right then. And I'm going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested." The word manifested means made known, knowledge, or revealed. It says, "And we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested or revealed unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with" who? Y'all reading it right? "The Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Do y'all remember the teaching that we did? The sower sows the word. Remember that? Y'all ain't let that go, have you? Because he says, if you don't get that parable and know what that one means, he says, how you going to know any of them? Because this is the granddaddy parable. Well, we learned over there in that parable, if y'all remember, when faith comes, what comes with it? Joy. You cannot have faith without joy coming. Why? Because the thing about it is, when faith comes, what comes? Light. Have you ever, for an example, have you ever been telling somebody something or trying to explain something to them or something like that, and they're looking at you, their forehead is squinched, their eyes are squinched, and that's telling you, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting no light, I'm not seeing, I'm not hearing, I'm not understanding. And then all of a sudden, their face changes, and they do what? Oh, I see that. Y'all ever say that? I see that. Why? Light came. It was revealed to you, got knowledge and understanding of it. So he says there, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So how many knows when you have fellowship with God, you're going to have faith? You're going to have light, right? He goes on, verse 5, he says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light." He doesn't just have light, he is light. The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation that we just got through reading, and congratulations to all of y'all that have, in case you don't know, the papers back there that says December, we read one chapter that's on those Monday through Friday together as a church. So now we have almost read the whole New Testament, right? Together. So he goes on here, he says, This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He didn't say you was deceived, you're misunderstanding. What'd he say? You lie. Now, there's a difference between lying and not knowing. Y'all way too quiet. There's a difference between lying and not knowing. And he says here that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He says, but if we walk in what? The light. What's that mean? Just like I said a while ago, when you're explaining something and somebody gets it and they say, oh, I see that. It's like a light turns on. It's manifested. It's revealed. You understand, right? So he says there, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. How many knows you see light in his light? He says, we have fellowship one with another, talking about the Father. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth, not cleansed. That's a continual ongoing. Cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, and notice what he starts talking about. This is real important. He starts talking about the Lord, and he starts talking about fellowship with the Father. Then he starts talking about light. Then he starts talking about lying. And then now he's talking about what? sin. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But why does he start talking about sin? We're going to find that answer out. Let's look at James 4. Seems like he digressed there a little bit, but he didn't. There's a reason why he says it that way. Because he says, if you have fellowship, if you walk with him in the light as he's in the light, we're going to have light, right? He says, but if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now notice here verse 17. It says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, or we could say do right, what is right according to God, and doeth it not, to him it's what? Sin. It ain't what your denomination told you it was. Y'all not saying nothing. How many knows that a lot of denominations, they have their own little things that they call sins. The world has their thing that they believe is sin. But he says here that if you got light and you don't walk in that light, you lie and do not the truth. What does that mean? What is he talking about there? Well, just like he says, therefore to him that knoweth. Now, I told you there's a difference between not knowing and lying. Lying, you're doing it intentional. You know it's wrong. You know it's not right, right? Well, he says there, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it becomes sin. Now, try to break this down just a little bit. Well, maybe we need to go on. Let's go on here to Matthew 4 before I say that. I'm trying to get ahead of myself a little here. Light is the knowledge that you have. Matthew 4, verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, talking about Jesus, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee to the Gentiles, of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. It's talking about the Lord Jesus, right? And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now, look over to, Beth, put it up on the screen for us, please, Ephesians 4. Well, let's just turn over there since we got more of that to read. Nope, that's not the one I want. Let's see where I got it. Let me turn over here to Ephesians 6. Now, it says there that the people that was sitting in darkness saw a great light, right? Here in Ephesians, if I can get over there. Verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of what? The darkness. Ain't that what we just been reading about? The darkness. He says, the rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Amplified says it this way. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural realm. Now, go over to Ephesians 4. Still can't say it yet. Since we're right here at Ephesians. We're going to start in verse 11 for time's sake. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice this. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge, or you could translate that, the light, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, that word perfect translates mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But notice that. He says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, y'all remember the parable over there that we studied on, right? I think 7 months or something like that. The sower sows the word. All right, I'm going to have to recap just a little bit about that. Probably every one of us, before you got born again, you heard the gospel at least once in some kind of fashion, right? I know for me I did. I can't tell you how many times I heard the gospel before I actually heard it, received it, and was born again. So what do we say? What is the problem with that? Because the Bible talks about those wayside ground, remember? And all of those, they don't hear the word. How come they don't hear it? It's not that they don't have ears. Y'all remember what we said? A willing heart makes a hearing ear. So I'm the one that can change what I choose to hear, right? Whether just like there's people that has sat in here. If you've sat in here for a long time and heard the word about griping and complaining, we hear that one all the time, don't we? Or not all the time, but we hear that one a lot. We hear a lot about tithing, you know, and we hear a lot about loving your enemies and all this kind of stuff. How many knows? Light's coming. But I guarantee you that there's people that is sitting in this church that has heard that and heard that and heard that and heard that, but never done that. That's a problem. Why? Because you go back to the parable, he says this is the operation of the kingdom, right? This is every area of our lives. So you got those, the word comes, they can't hear it. They don't want to hear it. They're not interested in that. That's one reason why a lot of times it takes tragedy or destruction in our lives to get us to hear. Because a lot of times it's pride, different things like that. But how many knows? So a lot of times when you get to your low, you're willing to hear anything and anybody at any time. I don't know about y'all, but I was. Well, then once you hear that, the Bible says they heard it. Remember the parable. The Bible says they heard it and they received it with what? Gladness. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So once they got to whatever level they was on that caused them to start hearing, and they heard that word and they said, that's good. They took it to themselves. Faith came, and therefore joy comes with it. But now, y'all remember in our reading and studying of all that, there's all these different pitfalls that you got to make it through till you get to the fruit of that word of whatever it was that you heard. See, a lot of people are deceived, self-deceived, because they think, because they hear, they're a doer. That's a lie. That's self-deception. The devil doesn't even have to be involved in that. So let's look here. So a sin is a violation of light. Why do I say it that way? Because of the scriptures we just read. He says, for him that knoweth, if you know something, you got light on it, right? You're not confused. You understand. You got it. It says, for him that knoweth to do right, and doeth it not, it's sin. Now, we don't all have the same light. But God knows what light you have, and God knows what light I have, and he knows if and when I violate that light, right? So then, therefore, that's when it becomes sin to me, because sin is a violation of what you know to be right. All right. Now, let's go to... let me go over to Hebrews 4, I believe is where I want to go. I know you ain't got this one, Beth, but I think it's 4 and 12 is what I'm on. I don't got it wrote down, but we need to see this. Yeah, Hebrews 4 and 12. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified. I like the way it says it. It says, for the word that God speaks, or we could say the word of God, is alive. See, that's how come you can read this word today and you get something out of it. And you read it tomorrow, you can get more out of it. The same, just a little more light on the life that you... Listen, you can't see nothing without he shows it. Have you ever been somewhere... I don't know, say you're out hiking in the woods, you know, and you got somebody with you, you know, say April's with you, Monty, y'all hiking in the woods and everything, and you don't see anything, you don't see any problems, and all of a sudden April says, there's a snake right there. And Monty's going, where? And she says, right there, and you see it. Why did you see it? You didn't see that by yourself. That's exactly what God does. See, some people like to think because they study a lot, and we should study. The Bible says for us to study, right? To show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So we should study. We should read our Bible. The Bible talks about how that the word of God is food for us, right? But let's go on here with this. He says, for the word of God, that's the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. So this word is not a dead letter. It's living. What's that mean? It's growing, it's developing in you and in me if it's in you, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of breath, of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purpose of the heart. I believe it's the other one, King James says, intents of the heart. But notice that he says the word of God is alive. See, the Bible says in John, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. We're not talking about Jesus. He became Jesus on the earth because we needed him to become Jesus. That's not his name. Go over there. Y'all looking at me weird. Go to John 1. See, I told you I had to lay a little foundation before we actually get to where I'm wanting to go. So that's what we're doing. The Bible says by two or three witnesses let every word be established, right? He says, in the beginning was the Word. Now this is, we call him Jesus. When we just read the book of Revelation, did y'all see him in there? The Word, riding on a white horse. Right? The Word, not Jesus. Jesus was the flesh man. It says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible says Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, right? It says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. By who? The Word, which we call him Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was what? And the life was what? The light of men. See, in him we have light. The Bible says once we get born again, the Bible says we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth, right? So in him we have light. But the thing about that is when you violate the light that comes to you, when you violate the knowledge of the Word that is alive, that comes to you, you sin and you do not walk with him. You do not fellowship with him because the Bible says that you walk in darkness. You don't have fellowship with him. You lie and do not the truth. So what's that mean? That means when light comes to me, when I get born again, and light of the Word, the knowledge of the Word, of how God is and what he wants for my life starts coming to me, I need to step. Why? He doesn't give all light at one time. You get light as you see light in his light, right? The fellowship. This is an ongoing, all the time thing. That's how come I say, you know, a lot of people, they want to walk and live by faith when it's time to believe God for a car payment. And you can believe God for a car payment. It's time to believe God, you know, when your marriage is on the rocks or when you've got problems. But how many knows we are supposed to be walking by faith in the light, in fellowship with him 24/7 until we leave here? That's why this is a relational, ongoing thing all the time. You don't just pick one part and you walk by that, and you don't just pick another part and you do that. You got to take all parts with what he gives. So he says there, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth where? In the darkness. How many knows every one of us got darkness in our life somewhere? Why? Because I have not yet come to the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God in my life. All of us have not yet come to that fullness. So therefore, it's just what he says here. He says, and the light shineth in darkness. Whenever God gives you something, God doesn't just use his word to communicate something, like a lot of times we do. You know, a lot of times I'll say something because I want you to know something. Well, the thing about God is when God speaks, there is enough power, enough authority, enough light, just like this. A lot of people think Peter walked on the water. No, he didn't. Peter walked on the word. Why? Because without the word, Peter never could have walked on the water. So that is the same way with everything in our life. Just like Peter told him, he said, Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come. Well, what's Jesus going to do? He can't lie. So he's got to say, come. Well, and that one word, come, caused enough faith in Peter to actually get out and start taking a step. Light came, right? And he got out there and he began to do. It is the same way with every one of us in our lives. When, say, the word of God comes to us about tithing, we see it. We hear it, we see it, we get it, we want the benefits of it, we believe it's the right thing to do. So what do? You actually start doing it. Then once you start doing it, and it may take a little time, because this is going to depend on every individual's heart, according to the sower sows the word. We are the keepers of our own heart, and the Lord helps us with that. But anyway, we see it, and we start doing it. Now as you start doing it, guess what starts happening? You'll get more light. To start with, maybe it was just, you know, God wanted you to tithe. That's all the light that you got. So you started doing it, which means you're walking in it, you're fellowshipping with him over this and that, and you get more light. You get light of the benefits. You get light of the enemy, how he shut out, different things like that. Now he goes on here, excuse me, and he says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or understood it not. Then it starts talking about John. I don't want to go on down with that because I don't want to run out of time before we get to this part. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. See, when you get born again, the Bible refers to us as a newborn babe. Just like that little baby that's right there, which she's not newborn now. She's what, a few weeks old now, something like that. Well, how many knows that baby has to be fed? The baby has to be fed. The baby has to be birthed. The baby has to be tended to. That baby can do nothing for itself. But if you feed that baby the proper nutrition and things, how many knows that baby's going to grow? And even if you didn't, the baby will still grow a little bit, but it will never be the size that it's supposed to be. Right? In the kingdom, when you get born again, we're born again as a newborn baby. And he says here, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. All right, you get born again, and you hear somebody on TV or the pastor, or you go to a church or whatever, and they say, you need to go to church. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm talking about this deep right now. This is all I'm talking. Okay, so you're sitting out there watching TV preachers or listening to us or somebody over Facebook or however that you're hearing it, and you hear them, God wants you to go to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Right, the word is coming, and you get light, and you're like, I think I'm supposed to go to church. What you do now? Not everybody. Y'all not saying nothing, because I'm about this deep. I'm telling you why some people are the way they are, and it's not God. Because why? If that's the light that you get born again, and that's all the light you got now, is you love the Lord and you believe in here, he's telling you to go to church. What do you got to do? You actually got to start, get yourself ready. We hope you brush your teeth, but if you don't, it's okay. We can take it. You know, go to church. Once you start doing, walking in the light that you have, what happens? More light is going to come. You're going to get something else. While you're at church, you're going to get something. Somebody's testimony, the song minister to something. Right? But what if you don't go? You're walking in darkness, right? And you are sinning. We read the Bible, right? It's not what I'm saying. Because if you know that came to you, and not you know, I know. People like to play games, but you can't with God. You know, if you know that you got it in here, that you need to go to church, that's the thing for you to do, then you better be doing it. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to get self-deceived, and you're going to think you're walking in light, but you are full of darkness. And you're going to get no more light in that area. Why? Because God won't pass you to the second if you don't go through the first. That's just the way he is. Mom and daddy might, because they love you, but God loves you more, right? Over in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, this is where Jesus was led out into the wilderness of the devil, where he was fasting 40 days and nights, and the devil come to tempt him and all that. In verse 4, the devil told him something. In verse 4, Jesus said, "It is written," he's quoting Deuteronomy, "that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God." So 1 Peter 2:2 says, "Desire the sincere miracle of the word that we may grow." Right? We just read over there in Ephesians 4 where he talked about growing up in him, right? Till we all come to the knowledge, or you could say revelation, or the light of the Son of God. Look, put up Psalm 119:130, Beth. Let me just read it off of there. There it is. He said, "The entrance." Now go back to the parable of the sower sows the word. What's the first thing got to happen? You got to hear it, right? It can't get in you if you can't hear it. So he says, "The entrance of thy words," do what? Give light. The second that God's word enters through your spiritual ears into your heart, bam, light comes. And when light comes, joy comes. Why? Because faith and light, they go together. You see it, you got it. He says, "It giveth understanding unto the simple." But notice it, the entrance of thy word. Everybody don't get the entrance. And then once you do get the entrance and the light comes, you actually got to do what the light was, right? Now, look at Matthew 7. Gosh, I thought my time was up. Matthew 7, and I'm for time's sake, I'm going to start reading in, I think it's 21. No, that's not it. Let's see here. Where was it? That's Luke. No wonder that ain't right. God, why didn't y'all tell me? Good thing I looked at the top of the page, because y'all not helping me a bit. All right, Matthew 7, verse 21, for time's sake. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what?" Oh, you better read that again. "He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." How? What is another way to say that? He that God gives light that walks in the light that God gave. Right? He says, "That doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now notice this. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?" That's a good thing. He says, "And in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me," excuse me, "that works iniquity." He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," number one, you got to have a willing heart to have a hearing ear to hear it, and once you hear it, "and doeth them." See, this is a problem why a lot of people can't figure out why they're in the mess they're in. Because, see, if I hear the word and I don't do the word, I'm deceiving myself. So I'm going to keep the same problems that I've got because I didn't do the word, but I'm not realizing why I got the problem that I got. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to talk in a parable. Let's go over to James 1 right quick. Hold your place here because we're going to come back. James chapter 1, verse 19, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." A lot of us like to talk. Who was that? April? Monty. They can move on here. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." He says, "slow to wrath or anger. For the wrath or anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God." He says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Deceiving your own self. The devil's not even involved. I did it to me. Now, go back over to here. Now, Monty and Scotty and others, heard people say, you know, talk about roller coaster Christians. Roller coaster. What's that mean? They're up. They're down. They're up. I'm telling you how you solve this problem and why this problem even exists. You cannot be in faith and stay in faith and go down and up and down. Why? Faith is always up. Faith is always positive. Faith is always believing. Faith is always confident. Right? Ain't that what faith means when we looked it up? Yeah. So if you're going down, what's that mean? You're coming out of faith. You're beginning to violate the life that you got. Why? The Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, y'all remember that, right? Where he talks about how we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And Monty, you just meditated this, didn't you? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? And then he goes on down and he talks about casting down imaginations. And every high thing that does what? Continue. Continue that. Don't stop. What does it say, Monty? The knowledge of God. The light that you have of God. The light that you have of God's Word. Well, good morning. Good to see you. We ain't seen her in a long time. But anyway, he says, why? Those thoughts are going to come to you. Why? Because they're trying to replace the knowledge that you have of God. The knowledge or the light that you have of His Word. The knowledge or the light that you have of His will for your life. Why? To talk you out of that, so then you're going to get self-deceived and you'll never be a threat and you'll never get the Word. Right? Let's go on here before I run out of time. So now we're back over here. James, he said, be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Right? Deceiving ourselves. Now, verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, you got to hear them, number one, and doeth them. You actually got to do what you hear. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Y'all remember over there where Jesus asked him, who does men say that I am? Go through him, and then he gets to Peter, and Peter has a revelation, or the light gets turned on of who Jesus is, right? Light comes to him. He gets understanding. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, founded upon a rock. Why? Because you are a doer. If you're not a doer, your house will not be on the rock. See, some people think because they got saved, their house is on a rock. No, it's not. You just started. Now you got to dig a foundation deep, right? You got to be a doer of the Word. You got to do what you know that He wants you to do. Then he goes on and he says, and the rain descended, so trouble's coming. How many knows trouble comes, life comes, tribulations, trials, tests, persecution comes to saved and lost? You don't get out of this world without some kind of problem. He says, and the rain descended. So that's one kind. And the floods came. So the rain evidently was lasting a long time to make a flood. And the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it what? It fell not. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. Now the reason why I kept reading those scriptures where it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? He makes all of these analogies to eating. You know, tasting something, drinking something, eating something. We read the scripture where Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, which we know that to be natural food. He says, but by every word of God, or one translation says, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I can take a steak, whatever your thing is. If pizza's your thing or spaghetti or whatever. Scotty's his steak. So you take a steak, cook it just like he likes. He likes a baked potato. He likes for you to cut it, slice it in little slices, and put some butter on it and all this stuff, and then wrap it up in tinfoil and put it on the grill. I'm telling you all this for a reason. Now, I'm not trying to make you hungry. And then, you know, then he likes other stuff with it, and he'll make a salad. And, I mean, there's like 3 pieces of lettuce and 5 tomatoes and a gob of cheese and, you know. So that's his deal. He can look at that and think, man, that looks good. He can go, smells just the way I like it. Has that done him any good? No. When is it going to do him some good? When he actually gets it, takes a bite of it. Now listen, this is the word of God. Takes a bite out of it, chews it, swallows it, you'll never get that part of that meal out of him again. Why? It has now become a part of him, or a part of me. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying? Same thing with the word of God. Once you take, just like John 15:7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide, dwell, live, that's your habitation, abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you of my Father which is in heaven, right? What's that mean? It means you're taking a bite, you're chewing the word of God up, you're swallowing it, it becomes a part of you. Can't get it out, right? That's what he's talking about. He says, this house or this person will be founded on the rock. Why? The word is a part of them, on the inside of them in their spirit. Therefore, there's nothing that can do anything against that. Got it? Now notice here what he says. The next one, 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Now, surely everybody in here knows it's really sandy in my house. You can't build nothing on sand that you want to stay overnight. Why? Especially if rain comes, it just washes the sand away. We had to do a cement thing there by our, when we first moved over there 16 years ago where we live now, my back porch on the left-hand side, I could not get up on it. That's how far it was from the ground. Now, the right side wasn't like that. You know where the left side is now, 16 years later? It's that much away from the ground. I kid you not. And it's not because we did it. It's just the washing, the washing, the washing. Why? What's it just like he says there? It says, I liken unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Why? He did not do the word. The word did not become a part of him or her. And the rain descended. Same thing. They're in the same test, same trial, right? It started raining. It rains for a long time, makes a flood. The floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house just like it did the other one. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why? What made the difference? Because one is a roller coaster. We all know people like this. There's been people that's come here before, you know, different things. You got people, I'm just trying to make a scenario, not say nothing bad about anybody, that they'll come in the door, they want you to pray for them. And that's good. We don't care to pray for them. We want to pray for people, right? And all of that kind of stuff. Then they don't come Wednesday night, then we see you 3 Sunday mornings later, pray for me. Okay, well, we will pray for you. Then you go on, don't come Wednesday night, might see you the next Sunday. Oh, I'm doing a little better. Woo, praise the Lord. But continue praying for me. Okay, we'll keep praying for you. Then don't see you for 2 more Sundays. Y'all not saying nothing. Then you come in the door. Oh, pray for me. I barely made it to church. I'm telling you, the devil's in my tire. My battery was dead. I can't take it anymore. These kids is driving me nuts. What's the problem? You are not walking in the light that you have. Because when you walk in the light that you have, even though it may just be go to church right now, it may just be read your Bible every day right now. I'm telling you, I guarantee you, I'm talking about Christians worldwide, we would not be as fat as some of us are if this was physical food. You know why? You got some people, they don't read the Bible at all. Y'all getting way too quiet. God's trying to help us, and they're going to help us and equip us to help other people. Why? To know why they're in the shape that they're in. Why? Because it's not the will of God. God's will is to bless. God's will is that you have more than enough. God's will is not that you're up and you're down and you're up and you're down. Scotty used to do, which y'all probably heard the stories, I'm sure. I can't remember. But anyway, he had this saying, you know, he would want to throw his hat in when he opened the door to see is it come in okay or not okay. I'm saved. Oh, and I've been playing praise and worship music all day while I'm cleaning, and I just love you, Lord. And then he comes in and he's got mud on his boots. What in the world do you think you're doing? Y'all never did none of that. I know. I'm talking about me. My house is falling. My house is falling. I'm telling you, it took me years to get this stuff. I got to tell y'all a quick story because God reminded me of this story. I don't do that now. I just meet him at the door and I say, do you need something? What you need? I do it very nicely. I'm trying to let you know, don't come past this point. And I'm doing it nicely. I have grown. I've grown, right? I've grown. Anyway, for an example, you take the scripture. Now, me and Scotty, we knew absolutely nothing, and the things he did know was not right. He tried to tell me the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't go around them holy rollers, they fall down and roll in the floor, and I'm like, what? Anyway, we don't know anything, so we get born again, and we start getting a little bit of light. Go to church. Read your Bible. So we went to church, and we read our Bibles, and Scotty took a little pocket New Testament, pocket Bible, and on his lunch break, while everybody's doing whatever they do, he would read what he could of his Bible, you know, and I'm at home, I read 10, 15 chapters of my Bible. We don't miss a church service. That's all we know. That's all we needed. And so as we did that, over and over and over, and year after year, we'd start getting a little light over here in this area. A little light over here about finances. A little light over here in this area. Till lo and behold, Scotty, before me, got a lot of light about finances and about the blessing of the Lord and all this stuff. And Luke 6:38, right? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Well, now we got that a little bit. Let me tell you something. When you get light, there's always a test going to come for you to operate in the light you got. Every time. Why? Because you got to have that and do it for it actually to become a part of you. Well, lo and behold, we go on vacation. First vacation we've ever took. The first one we had planned, we had $1,400-something, and Scotty was in trouble with first business and all that, and they froze that bank account. You're talking about that. Anyway, so we are on our first vacation of our lifetime. Travis, little kid, I think we went to, may have been Brownsville Revival when they had that down there at Pensacola. I can't remember. But anyway, we're down that way or whatever. And Scotty has two of his nephews that they actually installed garage doors for him. So we're gone on vacation. They had, I think, this one job they had to do. Well, lo and behold, they're on the job and everything, and they get the job complete, and then they call Scotty. We're in Walmart. I can see it like it's right now. We're in Walmart getting our vacation stuff, you know, our food and all this other stuff that we're doing down there. And they tell Scotty, this guy don't want these doors. He wants us to take them out. He's like, what? The guy ordered the doors. He let the doors be installed. Then when it come time for payment, I'm not going to pay. I don't want these doors. Take them out. I found them somewhere cheaper. And see, by law, unless they tell you, you're not allowed to take them out. Now they become a part of that house. Anyway, what's he do? Oh, gosh. Now, see, we know about don't worry. Don't fear. Don't worry. Now's the opportunity. Right? So here it comes. What you gonna do? Well, lo and behold, he has Luke 6:38 living on the inside of him. He received it. He believes it. And with joy, he's looking for an opportunity to do it. So, lo and behold, at the same time, our pastor, Brother Brad, was building a new house. And just so happens, Scotty calls in me and says, hey, what size your doors, this, that, and other? They are exactly, Sandy, the same size doors Brother Brad needs in his house. So Scotty calls the people back that's working for him, and he tells them, take those doors out and take them to the shop. So they took those doors out, take them to the shop. Now, mind you, all the money we're losing, all the labor he's done paid to install these doors, all the gas and all the tools, everything you done spent to get to the job, right? Y'all not saying nothing. So he asked him, what size doors? They are the exact same size doors as he told him to take out. He tells him. Said, okay. Said, I got some doors up there at my shop. He said, I'm going to bring them and put them in your house so-and-so, and you don't owe me nothing. Could we afford to do that? Are you kidding me? No, we barely scraped the money to go on this vacation, and we ain't even thinking about what we're going to eat when we get home, because they ain't no more money left. Y'all not saying nothing. So what is it? Here's your opportunity. Do you really believe 638? Is it really a part of you? Or are you going to lay down, you're going to cry, you're going to be self-deceived and not a doer of the word? It's your choice. It's my choice. So what's he do? He takes those doors, he loads them up when we get back from vacation, and they go over there, and Brother Brad, to my knowledge, still has those garage doors in his house that did not cost him a dime. And I'm so fat, you can tell I lack nothing. I have too much. Y'all not saying nothing. Why? Because that's how we got to Luke 6:38. That's exactly how. But see, you got these people out here, they know Luke 6:38. They quote Luke 6:38. But when the time comes for Luke 6:38 to become a part of your life, to where you are founded on the rock and not this up and down roller coaster Christian, y'all not saying nothing. Do the word. You may not see how you can do the word. I have been there. Can't see how I can do the word, but I know God wants me to do this. So I start putting one foot toward that. He brings more light. He opens the door. He sends the money. But nothing comes until you start taking that first step. Just like this, you can say, I don't fear. I don't fear. I know the word says 365 times, don't fear. Fear not. Fear not. Don't worry, don't worry, and y'all ain't saying nothing. Then lo and behold, Sandy, your boss lady wants you to take her to Tennessee. And God says, take your boss lady to Tennessee. And Sandy says, I can't. I just can't. I know what that feels like. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Then she gets up, if I'm remembering the story right, lo and behold, she knows she's going somewhere today, but she don't know where. She gets to work, and her boss lady's like, hey, I'm done packed. I'm paraphrasing. I'm packed. Let's go. Now Sandy's the time. If you believe he's your protector, if you believe he's your provider, if you believe he can bring things back, whatever you believe that you got knowledge of this word, sister, you get out there and you do it. Oh, and then she comes back and she gives the testimony and you just see her sparkling over her. I drove all the way to Tennessee. Now, for somebody else, it's like, big deal. Guess what? I got light and I walked in the little bit of light that I had and now I fear not. Why? Because I got light. Faith was in the light, right? And faith always has an action. If you don't have a corresponding action, sometimes it's just the words out of your mouth. But if you really got faith in your heart, it's going to be the words out of your mouth because you can't say nothing different because to you it's already done. But this is the reason why there is roller coaster Christians, that they are up when things are good. See, there's people, you'll hear a good message all over the world. You'll hear a good message, you got light, light came, faith came, oh, you're rejoicing. And before you can get out that door, you done forgot what the message was. Parable of the sower sows the word, remember? You got to keep that word that you heard. What's that mean? It means you like today. You're going to have to hear the word. You're going to have to remember this word further than those doors out there. And keep it and do it. And when you do, more light will come. And your life will start being built on a rock to where now things that used to move you, they don't move you no more. Why? Because you have been a doer of the word. And those that things keep happening in their life and happening in their life and they know the word and quote the word but they don't do the word, that's the reason why the things keep happening in your life like they are. But you can change it. Hear the word and do it. And your life will change. Maybe not overnight. Some might be overnight. But everything's not always overnight. And I've got to stop because I'm actually way past time. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or